So imagine building an app, right? And you attract 600,000 daily active users in a single month.
Wow. That is, I mean, that's explosive growth.
Exactly. You're the absolute talk of the tech world. Your servers are probably melting from the demand, and you seem completely poised to become the next dominant social platform.
Right.
And then before the year is even out, you lose 94% of that
Oh,
audience.
man.
Yeah, you just crash down to a mere 36,000 users. So welcome to the deep dive. We have a really highly custom-tailored mission for you today.
We do, and it's a fascinating one.
Yeah, we are decoding a really interesting post from a developer series. It's titled Building a Lawn.
Right, and we're specifically focusing on part one of that series, which is called The Vanity Formula.
Yes. Today we are exploring the intersection of artificial intelligence, product design, and really the deeply entrenched rules of social media psychology.
Because that spectacular rise and fall you just described,
Yeah.
that's what the Chinese tech industry refers to as the fireworks effect.
The fireworks effect, I like that.
Yeah, you know, it's bright, it's brief, and then boom, it's completely gone, leaving nothing but smoke.
Just smoke.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the specific casualty in that example was Miya Camera, which launched back in July 2023.
Right, I remember that one.
Yeah, they allowed users to, upload a few selfies, and then it would generate these incredibly stylized, high-quality AI portraits.
And by any conventional metric, I mean, that launch was a total masterclass in user acquisition.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah,
But
yeah.
user acquisition and user retention are completely different games.
They really are. And I think, the collapse of Miya makes perfect sense when you view those early AI photo apps as just a cheap party trick.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Because once a user has seen themselves rendered as, I don't know, an ancient warrior or put their face on a glossy Vogue cover, the novelty just evaporates immediately.
It's gone.
Right. You perform the trick, the audience clapped, and you put the props away. I mean, there is no underlying durable reason for the user to actually open that app the following Tuesday.
No,
Yeah.
there really isn't. And the fatal flaw of Miaoya and, the dozens of clones that followed its exact playbook.
Oh, yeah, there are so many clones.
There's so many. But the flaw wasn't technical. I mean, their AI diffusion models were actually generating phenomenal images.
So, what was the issue then?
The failure stemmed from a fundamental misunderstanding of user behavior. And this is where the developer behind Elon realized something crucial.
Okay.
People do not generate AI photos just to keep them hidden on their camera roll.
Oh, of course not. They generate them to post them.
Exactly.
I mean, the photo is merely a vehicle for social presentation.
Which means the entire playing field shifts, right? So in China, that social presentation happens primarily on two platforms.
Right, Xiaohongshu and WeChat.
Yeah, Xiaohongshu, which operates a lot like an Instagram discovery feed,
Yeah.
and WeChat Moments, which is a highly curated private feed visible only to your contacts.
Okay.
So if your application only solves the making the picture look good part of the
Right.
equation, but completely ignores the social dynamics of why the user is posting it, well, you are destined to become a firework.
You just fizzle out.
Exactly. You have to design for the social ecosystem, not just the pixels.
Okay, so if the ultimate goal is social presentation, the AI needs to be trained on the unspoken rules of those specific platforms. And
Yes.
to figure out what those rules were, the developer behind Elon actually ran a massive research survey.
They really dug into it.
They did. They analyzed five different dimensions. They looked at photo styles, poses, caption methodology, user psychology, and competitive user experience.
And from that, they gathered 42 cross-validated data points.
Which is incredibly thorough.
It is. And the driving force behind all this social presentation, it basically boils down to a single concept.
Okay, what is it?
It translates to inadvertent superiority.
Inadvertent superiority. Wow, that's a heavy phrase.
It is, but it taps into a very deep sociological truth about status signaling. We all want to signal our status, but doing so directly triggers a social penalty.
Right, like if you brag too loudly, you just alienate your friends.
Exactly. So the developer codified this into what the Chinese internet calls the Versailles formula.
The Versailles formula, like the palace.
Yep, like the palace. It is the high art of the subtle humble brag. It operates on this very precise psychological equation.
Okay, I want to hear this equation.
So you combine a text caption describing something small or mundane with a photo that reveals a massive luxury.
Oh, I see.
And the resulting chemical reaction is this effortless elegance.
Oh, man. Think about your own feed for a second. I mean, we have all seen this in the wild, right?
Oh, constantly.
You see an old friend post a picture of, a lukewarm coffee cup, but half the frame is deliberately taken up by the steering wheel logo of their brand new Porsche.
Yes, exactly. You know exactly what they're doing.
It's so transparent when you look for it.
It is. And the Elan developer actually broke that exact phenomenon down into three distinct programmable layers.
Okay, break them down for me.
First, you have the scene level.
Right.
So to achieve true inadvertent superiority, the luxury has to be the setting, never the action.
Right, so you're not pointing at it.
Exactly. The subject shouldn't be posing triumphantly in front of a five-star hotel's neon sign. Instead, the backdrop is, like, the recognizable infinity pool of an ultra-exclusive resort.
But the person is just reading a book.
Yes. They're just looking down, casually reading a book.
Like, the luxury is just the oxygen they happen to be breathing.
Yeah, it's a perfect way to put it.
Right.
So then you move to the outfit level.
Okay.
And the branding here must appear completely accidental.
Yeah.
The user might be holding an Hermes bag, right? But they are looking thoughtfully out at the distant city skyline.
So the bag is just kind of occupying space in the frame.
Right. It's totally incidental to the moment being captured.
Okay. So that brings us to the third layer, which is the caption.
Yes, the anchor.
Right. It acts as the anchor for the whole illusion because the text has to be emotional and simple, deliberately ignoring the massive wealth that's depicted in the image.
You don't write, "Checked into the resort with my new Hermes bag."
No. That triggers the social penalty we talked about.
Exactly.
Instead, you write something detached, like rare to think about nothing.
Yes, exactly.
The mismatch between the visual wealth and the textual simplicity, that is the entire engine of the Versailles strategy.
It really is.
But here's where I really have to push back on the mechanics of this, though. Doesn't this deliberate mismatch run the risk of feeling, like, painfully obvious?
How do you mean?
Well, if an app just generates a pristine Hermes bag and slaps it in the exact dead center of a photo of me at a coffee shop, my friends are going to instantly know I'm trying way too hard, right? Like, the illusion just breaks completely.
So your pushback actually highlights the exact reason the previous generation of AI photo apps failed.
Really?
Yes. The moment the AI centers the luxury object, it strips away the user's plausible deniability.
Plausible deniability.
Right. Existing apps tend to function like product photography. You know, they center the shiny object, which just ends up making the user look like they are starring in a tacky sponsored advertisement.
Yeah, rather than living an aspirational, authentic life.
Exactly. The Versailles strategy only works if the user can plausibly say, "Oh, my bag. I wasn't even thinking about that. I was just trying to capture the lighting."
I see. So plausible deniability is basically the shield against the social penalty of bragging.
That is exactly what it is. And that introduces a monumental engineering challenge.
I can imagine.
I mean, how do you take a deeply nuanced psychological shield like plausible deniability and translate it into a piece of software?
Well, I guess you start by looking at where the existing software creates friction, right?
Right.
And the developer looked really closely at competitor apps like Xingtu. And these apps, they operate much more like traditional photo editing suites.
Yeah, they give you way too much control.
Right. They offer dozens of parameters. You can adjust the lighting, tweak the color temperature, manipulate the composition.
But consider the target demographic here. We are talking about 18 to 35-year-old women who want beautiful, shareable photos with absolutely zero effort.
Right. And for that user, a dashboard full of sliders is instantly intimidating.
Every single slider is a cognitive load. If the user has to stop and think about color temperature or shadow contrast, the product has already failed its core mission of effortlessness.
Wow.
But the research actually revealed an even bigger friction point.
What's that?
Let's say the user actually manages the sliders and they generate a gorgeous photo.
Okay.
They then export it, they open their social media app, and they just stare at a blinking cursor on a blank screen.
Ah, they don't know what to write.
Exactly. The photo to post conversion rate completely dies right there.
Yeah.
The developer identified caption writing as the highest friction bottleneck in the entire user workflow.
That makes total sense. So Elan's solution to this bottleneck is a feature they call the Muse Card. And honestly, calling it a filter just does not do it justice. I mean, it is a complete end-to-end photo shoot brief bundled into a single tap.
It really is.
Because each Muse Card encodes the scene definition, the outfit configuration, a specific pose library that actually generates 4 to 5 narrative shots to tell a cohesive story.
Right, not just one photo.
Exactly. And specific color grading for a consistent cinematic look, plus 3 switchable pre-written caption styles.
It is an incredibly opinionated approach to product design.
Yeah.
Basically, they are removing the paradox of choice.
Yeah, it feels way less like using an app and much more like hiring a full creative agency.
Yes.
I mean, by tapping a Muse card, you are simultaneously hiring a stylist, a photographer, a location scout, and a copywriter.
All in one tap.
Right. And the core design principle driving this is that users shouldn't have to choose technical parameters. They should only have to choose their desired outcome.
And the categorization of those outcomes is frankly brilliant.
Yeah.
Currently, Elan features 18 distinct cards.
Mm-hmm.
And they're spread across 4 specific lifestyle vibes.
Okay, what are the vibes?
So you have luxury travel, which gives you the resort pools and premium hotel suites.
Got it.
There's urban, focusing on rooftop bars and chic city walks.
Nice.
Artistic life, which really leans into independent cafes and reading rooms. And finally, seasonal capturing those fleeting moments like spring cherry blossoms or winter hot springs.
So instead of treating the software like Photoshop, you know, where you build an image from scratch,
right,
you are treating it like a high-end fashion magazine. You just point at the aesthetic you want to embody today.
Exactly.
And because the Muse cards include adaptive captions, they bridge that massive gap between generating the image and actually hitting publish.
Right. And the adaptability of those captions shows a deep, deep understanding of the algorithms and social norms of different networks.
Oh, how so?
Well, if you tell the app you're posting to Xiaohongshu, the generated caption will be longer. It will include strategic hashtags and emojis.
Because Xiaohongshu is a public discovery engine.
Exactly. Your post needs those hooks to get indexed and pushed out to strangers.
Mm.
But if you switch the destination to WeChat Moments, the text automatically becomes shorter, more intimate, and it strips out all the hashtags.
Because WeChat Moments is a closed circle of your actual friends and family.
Right.
A giant block of hashtags would look incredibly desperate and thirsty to the people who actually know you.
It would completely ruin the inadvertent superiority.
Yeah.
The app is performing all of this really complex social labor on behalf of the user.
Okay, but translating human plausible deniability into machine code, I mean, that sounds impossible.
It's definitely not easy.
Because a large language model naturally wants to center the subject it is prompted to create. So how did they force the underlying AI to unlearn its default training and produce these subtle, accidental-looking compositions?
Okay, so that brings us to the technical architecture right under the hood of Elan.
Let's get into it.
They use Google Gemini's image generation model, but they are absolutely not just feeding it a basic prompt like, you know, woman at a resort with a luxury bag.
Right, because that would trigger the exact tacky, centered advertisement look we discussed earlier.
Exactly. Instead, every Muse card triggers a highly complex 10-section system prompt.
Wow.
And the most critical piece of that architecture is a block called Vanity Decent Instructions.
That is amazing. It takes a lot of self-awareness to literally hard code a vanity instruction block.
It's refreshingly honest, isn't it?
Seriously.
So standard diffusion models are trained really heavily on stock photography and product shots.
Right.
So their default attention mechanism assigns really high weight to the objects mentioned in the prompt, placing them front and center.
Makes sense.
But the vanity design instructions block uses spatial constraints and negative prompting to counteract that exact behavior.
Oh, so it tells it where not to put things.
Exactly. It explicitly forces Gemini to treat the luxury items as background clutter.
Clutter.
Yeah. The prompt dictates that the Hermes bag must be positioned at the extreme edge of the frame. It dictates that the hotel logo must be slightly out of focus.
That is so specific.
It is. The overarching mathematical directive given to the model is to capture a normal Tuesday, not a look what I have moment.
That is so clever. They are essentially programming the AI to act like a distracted photographer.
Yes.
And the paradox of all this incredibly complex prompt engineering and algorithmic routing is the user experience it creates.
It's totally seamless.
Right. The front end flow is governed by this Chinese product philosophy that translates to put the food in their mouth.
Yep.
The goal is 3 taps, not 3 minutes.
All right. And the latency has to be managed perfectly to maintain that illusion of effortlessness.
Mm-hmm.
The user uploads a selfie. selects an inspiration card, and receives a fully curated social post. There are no technical sliders, no model names visible anywhere.
Nothing to confuse them.
Nothing. Even the loading screen obscures the heavy compute happening in the background. It doesn't say generating image with Gemini 3 Pro.
Right.
It displays this poetic phrase like, "You're light, just right."
That is so elegant. Because Elon isn't selling artificial intelligence. They aren't selling technology at all. They are selling the feeling of being the person in those photographs.
Exactly.
The person whose life is so inherently glamorous that a luxury bag is just an afterthought on a coffee table.
Yeah.
Because the deep truth about consumer AI in the social space right now is that nobody wants to be seen using AI to look good.
Oh, definitely not.
If the audience knows it is AI, the social value of the post instantly drops to zero.
It does. The ultimate goal of consumer AI here is total invisibility. The technology basically has to vanish entirely, leaving only the social validation for the user to collect.
The tool just acts as a silent partner.
Exactly.
But, you know, even with invisible AI and perfect psychological framing and a literal masterclass in the Versailles humble brag, we still have to address the original problem.
Which is?
How does Elon avoid becoming the next Miaya camera? Because once a user has posted the luxury travel vibe and the urban vibe, don't they eventually just get bored? Like, how do you beat the fireworks effect long term?
Okay, this is where the developer made a structural business shift that really separates a fleeting app from a durable platform.
Okay, what did they do?
They transitioned from building a static utility to building content as a service.
Content as a service, meaning the Muse card library isn't just a fixed menu that you exhaust over a weekend.
Exactly. The library is dynamic. They drop new Muse cards weekly, treating them almost like streetwear drops.
Oh, that's smart.
Yeah. Furthermore, they manufacture time-limited urgency through seasonal editions.
Right, like the cherry blossoms.
Yes. Imagine a highly specific, beautifully curated cherry blossom aesthetic that is only available in the app for a 48-hour window during peak spring.
Oh, wow.
If you don't generate and post your photos during that window, you miss out on participating in that cultural moment on your feed.
And they actually use community voting to dictate which aesthetic gets produced and released next, right?
They do.
Yeah.
And that feedback loop completely alters the user's relationship with the app.
How so?
Well, novelty, by its very nature, decays rapidly, but curation compounds over time.
Yeah.
The users are no longer opening Elon to try the new AI generation feature. They're opening it to see what new vibes and aesthetics are available this week.
So the ever-growing, culturally relevant library becomes the actual product.
Exactly. And the generative AI simply becomes the invisible utility powering it.
Wow. For you listening, whether you are designing a software product, creating media, or simply trying to map out where consumer tech trends are actually heading, this is an absolute masterclass in user retention.
It really is.
Because gimmicks and raw technological capability will always suffer the fireworks effect. They will spike on launch day and then just vanish.
Yeah, without fail.
Building an evolving, curated experience that deeply understands the user's ultimate goal, which in this specific case is navigating the really complex rules of social validation.
Mm-hmm.
That is how you build lasting habits. You have to solve the user's actual human problem, which is rarely what the technology on its own is designed to do.
Right. Because an AI model can generate a beautiful picture, but the user doesn't need a picture. They need a cohesive social identity.
Mm-hmm.
Elon succeeds because it provides that identity, wraps it up in plausible deniability, and hands it to the user completely ready to publish.
All right, let's recap this journey.
Let's do it.
We started by examining the 94% collapse of novelty AI photo apps, those bright, brief fireworks that failed to understand user retention.
Yep.
Then we decoded the sociology of inadvertent superiority and the Versailles humble brag. We learned how status signaling requires the luxury to appear accidental and the caption to remain entirely detached.
Right.
We explored how Elon solved the friction of photo editing by bundling the entire creative process into Muse cards, operating much like a digital fashion magazine.
Tapelessly.
And finally, we looked under the hood at the vanity dissonance instructions, showing how they force models like Gemini to act like distracted photographers, serving up complete effortless social moments in just three taps.
You know, as we wrap up, this entire ecosystem raises a really profound question about the future of our digital lives.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if an application can perfectly automate the subtle, accidental framing of a luxury lifestyle down to the specific blur of a resort logo, and the precisely detached poetic caption.
Right.
What happens to the underlying currency of social media?
Oh, wow. I mean, if everyone suddenly has a perfectly curated, accidental-looking luxury life available at the push of a button, the inflation on that kind of aesthetic goes through the roof.
Exactly. When projecting an effortless, aspirational life only takes three taps and requires zero actual resources, that perfection loses its scarcity.
It really does.
So will true effort, showing the messy, uncurated, unprompted, and flawed reality of daily life, will that suddenly become the new, unattainable luxury on our social feeds?
That is a great question.
When artificial perfection becomes a cheap, automated party trick, the only thing left that holds genuine, undeniable value might be the muddy, unfiltered waters of reality.
I love that. The ultimate flex might just be proving you didn't use an AI to curate your Tuesday.
Exactly.
A fascinating shift to watch out for as these tools become completely invisible. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.